So, hallo.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, so you're a husband.
I am. The wedding went wonderfully. I mean, it had some bumps, but overall, it was a great wedding.
I saw all the photos. So, from the parachute driving to the kiss on stage,
Oh,
did you
yeah.
also did the did you also did the tandem jump like the or only your wife?
Only she did it because I'm not that crazy, I guess.
It one time when I was very young, and I had in the free fall section, I had really problems to get any air in, like to breathe, because it's so much wind when you fall down against the air, basically, right? So, and then I really had problems to breathe,
Yeah,
and
they
then when you
told her to put her head up so she could breathe easier.
I did that too, but it didn't really work. And then when you pull the plug, right, and the parachute goes, that it really rips you up because you don't know when he pulls the cord. So it
Yeah.
comes like a hammer, I will never forget that. Then the rest, when you understand and you gliding down, basically, that was very good. The beginning part was kind of crazy. You sit on the edge in the airplane, and then, like,
Yeah.
yeah, okay, fall forward. You have to go first because the guy's behind you, and then, like, fall out forward with your legs crossed, basically, behind you. When we were
Yeah.
young, we did crazy stuff, so I think it was maybe a good call for you not to do it.
Yeah, you
So.
know, I'm the kind of guy who doesn't even want to go on a roller coaster, so
How this came with Kiss? Like, why you were there on stage? How's that possible even? I don't get that. What happened
So it was it's a chapel in Las Vegas that's in the Rio Resort that's owned or it's licensed by KISS, by the band, by Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons was actually there the day that we got married. He wasn't in the live ceremony, but he was downstairs announcing that KISS had sold their entire catalog for $300 million to a Swedish investor, the same investors who made the ABBA 3D shows. So yeah, he was downstairs doing that, and then we had a fake Gene Simmons upstairs as the minister, doing the ceremony. And some of you guys might have seen it. You might have watched the video. My family was there. Some of her family was there. Matt was there with his wife, and it was really cool. The minister was really awesome, and we got some great pictures. We got some great video. We all took great toasts, and we got in the limo. We drove around Vegas, and we got some great photos around Vegas. And then, we all kind of went to dinner, and I think we had breakfast the next day with Matt. But everything re went really well. The only problem was that the Wynn Casino Resort was kind of not the best and not as good as we thought it would be, the place where we stayed for the second half of the trip. But we are home now, and
I mean, now back to reality, right?
yeah, back to reality. How's the shoot is coming very soon, is it not?
Yes, so we will have tomorrow, I think, the article in Variety. So I will just now say who is all in the film, and maybe you post the podcast tomorrow,
Sure.
and earlier. So we have Amanda Plummer, Emmy winner, and so on from Pulp Fiction. As Anna, we have Kristen Renton from Sons of Anarchy and My First Shift film, as another female lead. Hannah Bulugun plays Selena, like she is like a migrant in the film. She's from London. Then we have James Russell, who everybody knows from Open Range, Carlito's Way, Donnie Brasco, hundreds of credits. He plays Kristen Renton's father. Then we have Ulrich Thomsen, who was in the Thomas Vinterberg film, The Celebration, the lead, and they won Cannes, they won the European Film Prize. Then we have Marcus Henderson, who was the lead in Get Out, the horror film, what was a major success worldwide. Then we have Barkhad Abdi, Oscar nominee, European Film Prize winner, Golden Globe winner, the Somali pirate from Captain Phillips with Tom Hanks, amazing actor. And then we have Daniel Soli from House of Cards and my film First Shift, and The Deuce, plays a lot of mafia guys. He plays an Italian cop because he's from New York, but he is born in Italy. He speaks perfectly Italian. And we have Kostas Mandalor, the second lead actor from Saw, from the horror series. And then we have Mohamed Kwizi from Kickboxer and other well-known Jean-Claude Van Damme films. The guy with the mohawk. So he plays in it too. And then we have Sami Shaikh, who was the Janjaweed bad guy in my film Darfur, but also the bad guy in American Sniper against Bradley Cooper and the bad guy in the Mark Wahlberg Lone Survivor film. Amazing Egyptian actor who will play in the film too. I think we have an amazing cast with a lot of very good actors. So we have an ensemble cast, and the film plays in one day, similar to some of my films, like Darfur plays basically in one day or 2 days, and Stoic in the jail plays in one day. I do a lot of films that are very compressed in time. Tunnel Rats, Heart of America. And I think it will be a very, very like film where you cannot go in the toilet to the toilet in between, because it's very tense, full of suspense, and based on the migration crisis in Europe, where every day boats coming in. I think this last 10 years, 100,000 migrants drowned in the Mediterranean Sea. They are like swimming on the ground or dead, whatever, they're dead. And over 1.7 million people came in by boat into Europe. So it's a crazy situation, and I think we make a film about it. What is worth it to watch? Where not the fate of individual people is in the middle, where the situation and the story is in the middle, and what unfolds is to show that it's like a lose-lose situation. It's too much for the communities to handle so many refugees. And so now the refugees are a lot of times left alone. They turn to crime, they turn to drugs, they turn to violence. And this supports then also everybody who says we should not have any refugees, any migrants coming into the country. So it's this kind of, you know, like everybody, when you have like the total pro-refugee, pro-migrant people, they getting faced with the truth a lot of times, and then they don't have the right answers. You know, they blame then the government, or they blame the schools, or they blame the communities, they blame the population who lives in the country. But it's just overwhelming and too much. And that is the reason that it doesn't work. Migration can only work if you have time, like if you have a school class, for example, and you have 20 kids in a school class and you have 3 migrants, that works. But if you have 10 migrants, nothing works at all anymore. Then the school falls apart and the teachers cannot handle it, are overwhelmed, nobody speaks the language. And then people coming out of school barely able to read when they're 15 years old. That, yeah, I think is the sad and realistic truth. And I'm a realist, right? So I'm not political left or right. I just look at an individual subject matter and try to talk about it and try to do something, telling a story about it. And so I think it will be a film where some people will be very aggressive against that film. Some people will maybe use the film for anti-migration propaganda, and some people will just, and the majority of the people will just see the film for what the film is, like an important commentary about reality, as a lot of my films. You know, look at what happened on Twitter with the Auschwitz thing, what you texted me about too, right? It's so absurd that it's now a GIF, you know, that photo what everybody's using.
Yeah, it's a meme right now.
Yes. So, but you see also the responses of the people is some people are just insane. You know, like, so the photo shows an SS guard who shoots a kid in the head. So, and one guy wrote, "I blame the white race with that racist film." That is just so wrong, you don't even know what to say about it anymore. It's completely absurd.
It's like,
So,
is Steven Spielberg a racist too? Like,
it's completely insane. It's like, so this guy, in a way, he outed himself as the absolutely neo-Nazi because he reacted only negative about the photo because he doesn't want that people know about the Holocaust. He thinks if you mention the Holocaust, you are doing, he wrote that also in another tweet, right? You're doing Jewish propaganda. If you mention the Holocaust, you do propaganda pro-Jews. I mean, that
Yeah,
is the
there was
reason
a lot of
I didn't
people.
pers yeah.
There's a lot of people trying to discredit that picture. A lot of people trying to delegitimize it by saying, "Oh, it's just an Uwe Boll film." You know what I mean? There was a lot of fucking people trying to drag that picture, and that says a lot about them. It's like the movie is not like pro-Nazi or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's like most of those people probably haven't even fucking seen the film, you know?
No, but it's also like the exactly how you said it has nothing to do with it,
Yeah.
with me as a filmmaker, or the post had nothing to do because the original post was from an American politician, whatever, and
Yeah.
she used this to say never forget. She used
Yeah.
that photo because that photo, in a way, summarizes the unbelievable brutality, you
Yes.
know. So, but that was already like enough for tons of people to lose their shit. And that fits in this totally disinformation campaign and propaganda from all sides around us. You
Yeah.
know, it's just like really, really annoying and really, really, you know, really bad the situation we are
I think it's
in
very
regards of
disappointing.
misinformations.
Yeah, people are fucking stupid, and it's super disappointing that, because I don't know, I always kind of thought people were dumb, but you see it more on its face on the internet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like super, I'd be embarrassed for them, but they're fucking idiots.
Yeah, they're total idiots. But they're also, and I think the real problem what we face right now is there is no good and no bad in a way, and propaganda and misinformation comes from all sides.
Okay.
So, you know, you have take that candidate for the presidency, the JFK, like, well, what is the name of him from Kennedy, the
Robert
independent guy?
F. Kennedy
Yes.
Jr.
So, you know, I think his voice is totally crazy. I don't know what happened to his voice. He needs an operation or something. But I watched the whole 2 hours Club Random with him and Bill Maher.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was interesting. And when you watch the 2 hours and you give the guy, like, you don't only read his quotes on stuff, what normally people do, and then they judge him. When you see what he says, 80% of what he said with Bill Maher, I think Bill Maher was sympathetic to, and me too. And you cannot like handle it because he was a non-vaccine guy, right? So we are all vaccinated, of course, and I couldn't wait to get vaccinated. But you cannot handle the corona situation like everything went smooth and everything worked out and everything was done well by the government.
Oh,
if
yeah.
You do if you do this, how the left wants to do it, they're still defending their stupid lockdowns and shutdowns of schools and so on. And they're still defending that the vaccine was the best thing whatever happened. Then they are disillusionized and they are propagandists for misinformation. I think it's very important, especially in things you can see after the fact, to say what it was. There was no chance not to use that vaccine. The vaccines were very fast developed. And overall, I think they saved a lot of lives because at least they made it that you get a mild COVID, a milder COVID as you would get a harder COVID.
Yeah, so, I know people who their immune systems are compromised and,
yes,
you know, that they and it can't, helped. Old totally people.
Yes, it helped, but it didn't hold up long. It was only basically protected for 3-4 months. You need booster after booster after booster. And there are definitely vaccination like consequences. A lot of people talked about it, showed like a negative impact from the vaccine. And you could not really protect other people with your vaccine that came out later, that you still could transfer the virus over even if you're vaccinated. And that means with this knowledge now, for example, schools and kindergarten closures were not necessary. That was bullshit. That you didn't save one life with closing all that schools and universities. And that was also not only hundreds of billions cost disaster, and whole generations lost 1 or 2 years of their lives. The young generation got enormously depressed during that time because they couldn't get out, they couldn't go into school, they couldn't meet friends. And in retrospective, as I said, at that point, I would also say, we have to shut it all down. But with the knowledge now, I think you must criticize it, that there were a lot of things just randomly done in a total panic mood, and they were not necessarily not necessary in retrospective.
Well, there's two things that I can say right here is that, it's unfortunate that everything that you said is true, 100%, but nothing like this has ever happened before. And even though they fucked up by undermining how severe it was, I don't think that anybody could have anticipated, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because it was Trump. You know what I mean? Maybe because he wasn't listening, but I don't know. I give them, they didn't know what to do initially. So, you know, we got a fucked up response.
Yeah. No, it's a thing. It's like, okay, it was like most of the time was Trump the president, right? And yeah. But in Germany was Merkel the president, whatever. And they released now like transcripts of a lot of meetings with them and scientists. And the politics proven now that they made more panic as the scientists. When the scientist says, we don't really know if it's necessary to have a mask on outside, but they made it a mandate. And we know now that that was totally contraproductive. You were breathing in your own snodder the whole time. Instead of, it would be way healthier for everybody and way less dangerous to go outside and breathe fresh air without a mask. It's different to be in a bus or in a subway, but to walk in a Central Park in New York and have a mask on is insane.
Yeah.
And was insane, right? If you're not close to people, it was way better to get fresh air for your lungs in a situation like this. So there was a lot of things where the scientists were more skeptical if this brings anything. And the politics always in the press conferences, when they did another shutdown, another all the restaurants closing, whatever, they said it's proven by science that that is what we have to do. And then the scientists were sitting at the same panel at the same press conference and shut up and didn't say anything because they know their job depends on it.
Yeah.
And I think this is scheiße. You know, that is the wrong way for politics to handle situations. And what I think also, and that is visible now, especially in Germany, is what a lot of governments learned during the pandemic is you can do whatever you want with the crowd, with the people. They're like little sheep and they follow your orders. Like in Germany, we couldn't get out after 8 p.m. It was like basically you have to stay at home. You know, shit like this. I mean, it was like for half a year, you cannot walk alone outside without a mask. I mean, they were all, and you had the feeling that some politics enjoying this, that they have this power to change everybody's life. And that
I
is
don't know
now.
if that's true. I don't know. That's like kind of a little too far. We don't know how they
No,
felt, you know what I mean?
maybe not in U.S., but in Germany, definitely. From my own observation here.
That's
Some
weird.
enjoyed it
Why?
too. Yeah, but because they gave it also like you got tickets, right? You go on a bike without a mask, $40. And that is
Okay.
what they enjoyed. They enjoyed giving you tickets for something what is normally completely insane. You know, I
Huh.
mean, and I have the feeling this is now in Germany now, people getting prosecuted because they are against the Ukraine war. They're getting prosecuted for like doing propaganda for Putin, being right corner nuts only because they want peace. They are against getting prosecuted because they say stuff against the Islam, whatever. It's a lot of like woke censorship out there, what I think is not only unnecessary, but it's also unconstitutional. And that is what my personal opinion is about a lot of. I mean, we talked a lot about Ukraine, about the mass migration, whatever. We talked about all of this, and I think it's a lot of like coming back to the Kennedy guy. A lot of things he said were not radical at all. They were like common sense stuff. I don't know how much he is in conspiracy theories. I never read a book from him or whatever. I just watched that pod, the YouTube thing with Bill Maher. But I didn't felt that he is completely out of his mind and that, you know, I mean,
Well, I will have to check it out. I'm gonna watch it. I'll let you know what I think.
yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes it was a little boring also, you know, of course, he has a conspiracy theory about, I think his was his uncle who
Yeah.
got, JFK was his uncle, right? That he got like murdered. He's more on Oliver Stone's side with the CIA murdered JFK. But who knows? I mean, I watched the film with Kevin Costner, and I have to say, I'm also not sure who murdered Kennedy, you know?
Yeah, there was multiple shooters, it looks like, you know.
Yes, you know, and multiple shooters and also multiple groups had good reasons to kill him. You know, not only the Cuban mafia and the Miami mafia and and I mean George Edgar Hoover from FBI hated Kennedy, hated him. You know, I mean somebody killed him. And the question is, let's say Lee Harvey Oswald shot him. Why? I mean, why? Why he should shoot him without getting money for it or somebody told him to shoot him? Why Lee Harvey Oswald, the total trashy guy, made it to his life job to kill the president?
Yeah, he was the perfect patsy, right?
Exactly. He was groomed to do it, you know, and he was definitely there and one of the shooters, you know, but I mean, but he was definitely not the man behind it. And that he all alone tracked Kennedy. He knows he will drive in this open car over that road at this time. And I know exactly when to get into that library, to what window. And I smuggled my rifle in way before because the roads were blocked that day. And then I shoot him like a professional killer. Like, this guy did that all alone with his motivation just to kill the president. That is also idiotic. And that is what I mean. It's like, it's subject matter by subject matter needs to get analyzed. You know, nothing is always so easy how it looks like. And the thing is, like, another guy was talking about Trump, how bad Trump was, and what fucking asshole he is, whatever, right? And then in a chat, I think it was on Twitter, whatever, the guy said, so okay, then tell me not what Trump said or did to his own party members. Tell me what Trump did, what was so horrible. What law he came up with, what destroyed everybody. What war he came up with. What he actually did. And there was a huge silence in the chat.
You know,
because I mean, what he really did, what he actually did. He put his pawns everywhere, his superior, like the Supreme Court judges. He did everything to enrich himself. That is 100%. But on the big scale of the U.S. presidential power, so what did he did to the citizens of America or to America that America got poorer, weaker, worse? I mean, what policy was it? But you tell me, you hate Trump too. So, but what he actually did, besides being a total fucking prick, like an egocentric maniac, but that is not anything
when Trump
turned into action.
Dude, during his first presidency, I truly don't believe that he knew what he was doing. I think that he was being reeled in by the people with common sense around him. And I think that the worst is yet to come. You know, I think now he's got the full support of his party and they're going to do some extreme things. I think the abortion rights being rescinded was a huge deal. That's one thing.
Yeah, but it happened at the Biden presidency against Biden's will, of course, but it happens because of the Supreme Court judges.
Yeah. Happened because Trump planted those seeds. He knew exactly what he did. It's like, just because there isn't an instant reaction doesn't mean he is not responsible.
No, but the typical Trump for me is, because we know a lot of his girlfriends had abortions from him. You know, yeah. I think the typical Trump is he gets all the evangelistic Christians, whatever, all on in line, and the Supreme Court, everybody's happy. He turns into president and then he still is not going for a full-on abortion ban.
Well, that's the thing, is I think that the evangelical Christians are getting impatient with Trump's he doesn't want to announce his stance on the abortion thing because he's afraid that he will turn off potential voters. But at the same time, he's going to turn off the evangelical Christians unless he says, you know, the hard line he plans to take. So I read that he's supposed to make an announcement this week on his stance on abortion for his campaign. And we'll just have to see what he says. See, because I think he's a hypocrite, that he is trying to lean into both sides just to get all voters. What he'll actually do, who fucking knows? But the history shows that he will lean towards taking away abortion rights. Maybe not completely. He says, leave it to the states. But give me a fucking break. Like, it is a woman's body. It is a woman's choice. We should not be making policy to regulate other people's bodies. And I think that it would be a shame if the United States ended up with, like, five states that would perform abortions that would be overloaded at all times. Like, it's an unfortunate situation. And I think that women should stand up for their fucking rights, for their... They're not fucking second-class citizens. I think that everybody needs to vote against Trump. I know not a lot of women, you know, listen to this show, but you guys are people too. You have fucking rights. And if you don't want to have a fucking baby, if you are raped, you should have the fucking chance. If you're poor, you shouldn't be forced to have a fucking baby just because you made a fucking mistake, you know? And they shouldn't be like, they shouldn't be shamed like, she made her bed, she lied in it. People make fucking mistakes. We've made mistakes. You know what I mean? I got a girl pregnant when I was a teenager and she had an abortion. If I had had that fucking kid, my life would have been super fucked up. So like, people need to, people live in these fucking bubbles where they don't empathize with other people. They live in a very comfortable existence. I grew up on fucking welfare, guys. I grew up in the fucking ghetto of Hell's Kitchen in New York City in the projects, and I've seen some fucking dark shit. So I empathize with those people who are stuck in that cycle and they can't get out. Those women with like a fucking 5 children and an abusive husband, they're not trying to fucking game the system. Maybe like 1 out of every 1,000 is saying that because they want to get clout online. But most of these people are in desperate situations. Like something cycled, something triggered off a cycle they couldn't fucking, maybe they haven't been educated properly. Maybe their family is abusive. We don't fucking know. And it's not our fucking place to judge them. So
I'm not against abortion at all. I'm pro abortion.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people. Sorry.
Yeah, of course. And I agree with what you say, and it's ridiculous in the time period we have now to disallow abortions. I mean, 100%. You have to limit it to whatever the first 3 months or whatever it is, 10 to 12 weeks, whatever is the, I think the limit, because then later you have actually already kind of a baby, you know. I'm not pro late abortions, but I'm of course for the abortion pill and abortions up to 3 months, you know. But the bigger point I wanted to make is this, take for example now what Canada is actually, Trudeau is doing it, and what DeSantis did, that he want to disallow in even up to high schools cell phones. And I think we cannot talk every day, and you remember the congressional hearings against Facebook and everything, the misinformation, the porn, the crazy stuff, the stalkers, the bullying. And in the very end, the Democrats never doing anything about it besides talking and finding the companies. And I think the internet is a huge threat for our children, for the next generation. They cannot focus, they watch only TikTok videos, they cannot even watch a film anymore or read a book. And I think to disallow this in schools is the first good thing. And it's the Republicans moving that forward because they don't want that the people are turning into completely only TikTok infiltrated crazy ADHD kids, you know.
My only question is how effective these laws are, because they pass these laws that sound good, but there's no way to fucking enforce them. Do you know what I mean? So let's see.
Okay, but enforcing means, for example, let's say it's not allowed in the school. So now somebody pulls out the phone and sits there and starts texting. The teacher should get there, take the phone away till the day is over.
Dude, did you see that video of that teacher who got fucking stomped and attacked by this kid with autism or something, who she took away his like Nintendo Switch or something? He beat the shit out of her and she's pressing charges and he's like, you know, being charged as an adult. But like, a lot of these kids are fucked up and they'll like try and fight you and shit. There's all sorts of videos about it.
I know, but it cannot be the reason to say, okay, well, you fight me, then we allow the reason you're fucked up to continue.
Well, I think the teacher should be able to fight back. If somebody fucking touches me, I'm going to fucking, you know what I mean?
It's no, like, no, it's, they're 100%. You should be not getting charged if you defend yourself against an attacker in general, no matter where it is.
But some of those kids are huge, you know?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I mean, what I want is this kind of reasonable, logical thinking. And if we have a problem, and we know we have a problem with the attention span of kids and that the kids getting worse and worse in school, and one of the big reasons for it is, of course, the overuse of social media, the addiction to social media. Yeah. And I think to say, at least this time in school, we cut that out, that you're not during the teacher talks, non-stop secretly watching videos, because that is what's happening, stuff like this, right? And they're cheating with AI and so on. And I, what?
Yeah.
And I think, wait 1 second, I walked with the dogs already.
You did?
Yeah, you have to walk a little later again.
Oh, no, there
yeah.
are lots of other things.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and I think that, that it will be important to make a stand against it and to actually do things about it. It's the same with, look at the southern border to the into the U.S. You know, there was a time where it was like, you, where it was 100% where you say, oh, my God, they're flipping completely out because of the illegal migration. But it's not the big deal. And U.S. needs workers and they need the Mexicans, whatever. But it changed. It changed to Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, whatever. It changed to more gangsters. It changed to more violence, similar to what in Europe happens with all the Islamistic countries where the refugees coming in. And I think no matter what you are, left or right, you have to face a reality that that is now too much.
Yeah,
it's too many, too much. So, and there has to come the hammer down, like this kind of thing, right? And of course, stuff like this helps Trump. Because he said it all along.
Yeah, Biden needs to do something about the border. It's true, you know.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's kind of a big failure from Biden to not address this. And the biggest failure, I mean, I have to also, like, I have, in 4 minutes I have an appointment, but the biggest mistake that of the Democrats is that they go with Biden again. That is a mistake.
Well, the reason why nothing gets passed is because the fucking Republicans won't. They're blocking it. You know what I mean? So it's a kind of like a big cycle, you know?
No, no. It's I know that they're blocking it and they are boycotting them the whole time, right? And they tried even to impeach Biden, what they're now not doing because there was no reason for it. But I'm not talking pro-Republican, and I definitely would not vote for Trump. Right now, if I would be an American, I would not vote. I would not vote at all because I think Biden is too old and he's not fit to be president anymore, at latest in 1 or 2 years, definitely not. And I think the Democrats need punishment for the total typical party politics bullshit. Nobody has the guts in that party to go and tell Biden, you're too old, forget it. Instead, even the way younger and fitter Obama, who is not president anymore for a long time now, is like encouraging or supporting Biden. That is bullshit. If the punishment will come, I stay on it. I think Trump will be the next president in the US. And I also would definitely not vote for Trump because he's a pathological liar and scumbag. And he's only in politics for himself.
Yeah,
he gives a shit about anybody besides himself. And I think that is, by the way, in South Park, as Garrison, that is the Trump guy in South Park, it's perfectly portrayed in South Park that he only cares about himself. And so that it's the, you can pick between two crazy, like not crazy, the crazy corrupt guy and the too old guy who is basically not a bad president, but he's too old. And the Kennedy guy will, of course, take some votes away from everybody, but will stay clearly, I think, maybe 5 to 8% of the votes will he maybe get. But it's, yeah, that is what it is and what they get. And I think whoever gets voted in, we have to live with it. And we have to live through it in a way. Sure.
Yeah. Well, guys,
follow
us on Twitter. It's been a great episode. We're going to see you next time. And, you know,
We see if I can do one from the shooting of the film. Next Saturday, I will be in Croatia till the beginning of May. And then I come back. We do it when I come back or in between the shooting on my day off. And I can report a little how the film shoot goes.
That'll be great.
Okay. Bye. Bye.